Amen and amen again. Aren't you glad to be in the house of worship? Come on, don't fool me. Are you really glad to be in the house of worship? Has God been good to you this week? Has God been kind to you this morning? Has God blessed you to see another day? Is the sun shining? Are you in your right mind? Are you clothed? Are you in the place of worship? Has God been everything that he promised you he would be to you? And if God has been that, then if nothing else, we deserve to give God the glory for a few minutes and give God the honor, because if it had not been for the Lord, I'm talking about somebody that been through some things. If it had not been for the Lord, I'm talking about he kept you through sickness. If it had not been for the Lord, he kept you through without a place to stay. If it had not been for the Lord, you were low, you were broke, you was confused, you was busted and disgusted. But if it had not been for the Lord on your side, amen, amen and amen again. You can sit down if you can. God is awesome and he is worthy to be praised. And if anybody know anything about Brian J. Johnson, I walk around with a praise in my spirit and I can't contain it. Amen. I'm so glad to have this privilege to stand before you this morning. Come on and celebrate the kids and the children of the Shiloh Baptist Church. Y'all think it's easy to stand up here and sing in a choir? I ain't see some of y'all sing yet. Been here 30 years, never mind. But we thank God for the children of the Shiloh Baptist Church. Thank God for the instruments of praise. Come on, put your hands together. Thank God for Pastor Hadari K. Hamilton Sr. I thank him for the privilege of standing behind his sacred desk. Thank God for the clergy that sit in front of me, that share wisdom and pray with me as I pray for them. And I thank you, Shiloh Baptist Church, for loving on me and just giving me an opportunity to serve your young people and to partner in this ministry thing with you. Amen. To my wife, I love you. I thank you for giving me a few extra minutes to study yesterday. Amen. Amen. There's a word from the Lord. I promise I only take up about 20 minutes of your time. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Exodus. Chapter 3, book of Exodus, chapter 3. I'll be reading verses 1 through 4, then I may jump a little bit. This is the custom of this house that we will stand for the reading of God's word. Everyone to their feet if you can. Exodus chapter 3, beginning verse 1 through verse 4. I'll be reading from the NIV version. Say amen if you have it. Amen. I didn't hear enough amens. Amen. If you, amen. We all got it. Amen. Amen. And the word of God reads as follows. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. I just want to jump to verse 11. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? That is the word of God for the people of God. May it continue to be blessed. Before you sit, just touch two people, because I want to share from the topic of when God wants to use you. Just say, I want to be used. I want to be used. I want to be used. Amen. Pray with me, if you would. Father God, I thank you for this preaching privilege. Lord God, I thank you for this opportunity to stand and declare your precious word. I am nothing without you but a mere vessel, pleading that you would allow your spirit to stand in me hide me behind the cross, that they would see Brian go away and see you appear, and that you would allow this vessel to declare what thus saith the Lord and what thus saith the Lord only. Lord God, do it for your name's sake, for your name is on the line, Lord God. We love you and we thank you. This is your servant's prayer. Amen. Amen. So the book of Exodus begins more than 400 years after Joseph, his brothers, and the Pharaoh he once served all have died. By this point, church, there's new leadership in Egypt feeling threatened by Jacob's descendants who have increased greatly in size. And so a campaign embarks by the Egyptians to subdue the Israelites, forcing them into slavery, and eventually putting out this decree that each Hebrew baby born must be killed at birth in the Nile River. But the Hebrew woman church, amen for the women, resists this decree. And a woman by the name of Jochebed opts to save her newborn baby son by setting him afloat in the Nile River. Fortunately, Pharaoh's daughter at the time was out bathing and she notices this boy and she adopts this boy and raises him as her own once he's been nursed. She ends up naming him Moses. And church, these type of things is just a testament to the things that God will do in your life once God decides that he wants to use you for his glory. We see it all throughout the Bible, and the truth of the matter is that God wants to use each and every one of us for his glory, just like he did Moses. And that's why I am in love with this particular text regarding the burning bush and Moses, because if we pay close enough attention to it, Leah Mitchell, God will reveal to us the things that he'll do or would allow to take place when he wants to use you. Amen. And so as we take a look at the text, Pastor Hamilton, I noticed the first thing that God would do when he wants to use you is he has this ability to show up in your wilderness season and change your life. Is there anybody here that ever had a wilderness season in your life? And you were down one day and next thing you know, God showed up and he changed your life in your wilderness season. It's right here in the text. Verse 1 says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness, say wilderness, and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Now, just to give you the backdrop, Moses, church, was at one time a prince in the land of Egypt. Moses was royalty. Moses was what you would consider more lucky to live high on the hog at one point in time. He was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh didn't have any other children. Moses was it. He was next in line for the throne. Some things take place, we know, and now Moses transitions to this foreign land of Midian. He's there for 40 years, and God decides that he's going to show up now and reveal himself to Moses. Moses is tending his daddy-in-law's sheep. He wasn't even tending his own sheep. He didn't even have his own sheep. He was tending his daddy-in-law's sheep. And God says, now is the time that I'm going to reveal myself to you. And what I want you to catch, church, is that he did not reveal himself to Moses when he was a prince living in royalty. He didn't show up in Moses' life catching him coming out the sauna one day or walking through the mansion or getting fed strawberries. He shows up in Moses' life while Moses is doing the dirtiest job that anybody can ever think of. He shows up when Moses goes from being royalty to nothing but a shepherd. And that ought to encourage somebody today, because the text is trying to teach us that you don't always have to be in high places for God to show up and bless you. God can show up in your wilderness moment and reveal to you that I have a plan for you that will not only bless other folk, but it'll bless you too, Moses.
And that's what I'm trying to tell somebody this morning. Because oftentimes we think we have to be title holders. We think we have to be CEOs. We think we have to live in a certain neighborhood in order for God to show up and say, I'm God and I can bless you any way I want to bless you and anyhow I want to bless you. Can somebody say you was in the wilderness moment and God decided now is the time I want to reveal myself to you? He didn't catch Moses at the top. We always think we got to be at the top. That's why we work to put ourselves at the top and we end up falling back down to the bottom. God says, Moses, the task that I have before you, Micaiah, I require a certain level of humility. So I'm not going to call you when you're the prince of Egypt. Because I want you to think about this. You're the prince, so there's something in your mind that puts you in a space where you think you got it all together. My daddy got money. My parents drive this. I go to this school. So God would have probably said, Moses, I need for you to do this. And Moses probably would have puffed up his chest, Pastor Hamilton, and said, sure, I can do it. But if you look later on in the text, Moses said, who am I? I have a feeling that something about those 40 years in the wilderness tending sheep did something in Moses' spirit that allowed Moses to be prepared for the thing that God wanted him to do. And so don't think that you're catching it now. God is preparing you even in the wilderness season. Because those of you who read your Bible know that Moses had to deal with mean folk. Who was huffing and puffing and complaining and saying we should have just died in the wilderness. We could just go back to where we came from. But Moses had time tending sheep for 40 years. I don't know about you, but if you tending to some sheep for 40 years, then surely you can deal with some Black Baptist folk. Some of y'all think I'm playing. And so when God desires to use you, Deacon Thorpe, he'll show up in your wilderness season, my brother, and he'll change your life. It was a regular day for Moses hanging out, doing his normal thing. And God shows up through this burning bush. And another thing I'll tell you, when God wants to use you, no matter what happens, God will always find a way to bring you back to your location of purpose. It's right here in the text. Those of you who are familiar with chapter 2, Mitchell, Moses is now out in Egypt. And he's walking through, probably eat some M&M's with peanuts in them. That's my favorite. And he comes across a taskmaster, an Egyptian taskmaster, beaten up on one of his Hebrew brothers. Moses gets filled with anger and maybe compassion for his brother. He looks to the left, the Bible says. Bible says he looks to the right. He saw no one around, so he took it upon himself to kill this Egyptian taskmaster. He buried the man in the sand. A day goes by. Moses is walking through. Now he's eating the M&M plains. And he sees two Hebrew brothers spouting. And he says to the Hebrew brothers, why are y'all going at it? Y'all shouldn't be doing that. One of the Hebrew brothers, must have been Black Baptist, he said, who are you to judge us? Who made you ruler over us? What are you going to do? Kill us like you did that Egyptian, Mr. Wilson? Moses now understands that what he did got out. Pharaoh gets the news. Pharaoh says, I'm about to kill this player. Moses gets up, he flees from the land of Midian. He leaves Midian. He's in Midian, y'all, for 40 years tending his daddy-in-law's sheep. He meets some fine young lady named Zipporah. He's married now. He obviously built a relationship with his father-in-law. And God decides to show up while he's tending those sheep and reveal this great big assignment. God says, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. And what I want you to do, Moses, is I want you to lead the people out of Egypt. In order for Moses to lead the people out of Egypt, church, Moses now has to go back to the place that he fled from. I'm sure that Moses had it in his mind. I've been removed from that place for 40 years. The last thing Moses is thinking, Reverend Bell, is that I'll find myself having to go back to the same place that I fled from 40 years ago. But God said, in order for you to be obedient to me, in order for you to serve me and tend to this assignment that I have for you, I need you to go back to Egypt in order to lead my people out. And God, church, always has a way of bringing you back to the location where your purpose lies. And that's why Moses ended up in Egypt. And if I can preach this morning, that's the some reason why some of y'all ain't got a divorce yet. Because you want to leave, but God still has purpose for you in that household. Can I be honest this morning? The reason why you can't get a new job is because God still has purpose for you in the job that you're at. Some of y'all are tired of coming to Shiloh every Sunday. But the reason why we show up and why we labor and why we work and why we serve is not of our own power. It's because God still has purpose for us in Shiloh. You don't show up for Pastor Hamilton's because I don't show up for Pastor Hamilton. I show up because I know that God still has purpose for me here. And as long as God still has purpose, you ought to be up on your feet saying, God, I thank you, because that means I'm still in the will that you have for me. Purpose, purpose, purpose. If we can't praise God on purpose, then we can't praise him at all. God will move you out of a situation and run you right back to it, because that's where your purpose lies. Purpose. And so Moses now, y'all, he is astonished, I'm sure. He is shocked that after 40 years of fleeing this place, that God would now reveal himself within this burning bush and say, Moses, I know it's been a while, but you got to go back. And sometime in order for us to move forward, we got to go back. Because there's some unfinished work in the back. You leave here now if you want to, thinking that you can outrun your purpose. And God will mess around and... You can never outrun your purpose. If you say you love the Lord and you're connected to the Lord, there's no way you can tell God what you will and will not do. Because servants don't do what they won't do. Servants do what they must do. And if you ain't trying to do what you must do, then I'm sorry, I gotta question your servanthood. Because God says, I need for you to go places that you did not. I need you to stay in places that's uncomfortable. Because sometimes purpose places are uncomfortable. I can't tolerate them. I don't like them. I don't like her. I hate how it smells. It's too hot in here. It's too cold in here. But we overlook the fact that there's still purpose there. Purpose, maestro, purpose, purpose. You don't let the devil force you out of your purpose. What you do is you tell God, as long as I have to be uncomfortable, I'm willing to be uncomfortable. I may turn my nose up a few days. I might walk a little harder through the hallways. I might even roll my eyes, but I'll be dang on it if I let somebody or something push me past my purpose. Your blessing lies in your purpose. And if you don't know your purpose, then you don't have a clue what your blessings are like. And so when God wants to use you, no matter what happens, no matter what goes down, he'll bring you back to your location of purpose. Now, it's up to us to be faithful once God reveals to us our location of purpose. And I'm transparent. I'm tired too. We're a church family. We can talk. I'm tired. I'm weary. I don't like everything. Can't stand some of it. But it's purpose. My purpose is bigger than my dislikes. You have to put your dislikes on a scale. And then you have to put your purpose on a scale. Indeed, you have to see which ways outweighs the other. Because it's not rocket science. Am I desiring to please God? Or am I desiring to please myself? Because if you desire to please yourself, you'll be happy momentarily. But the Bible says if you desire to please God, that in your daddy's house there's many rooms. And I know when it's all said and done, I want to walk into the gates of heaven and I want to see Johnson name play on a room. I want to go in there, take my seat, sip my glass of water, Perrier, and I want to say, God, I thank you for letting me in because I did not short you on my purpose. Amen. So God, when he wants to use you, no matter what happens, he'll bring you back to that purpose. And another thing he'll do, he'll call you once you're curious enough to give him your full attention. I'm in the Bible, y'all. Verse 2 says, there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. Catch this, Jordan. So Moses thought, say curious. He thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. Then Reverend Thorpe, verse 4 says, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses declares, here I am. There's an old saying that says curiosity killed the cat. But in this case, Shiloh, curiosity saved the people of Israel. Corey, good to see you. Because the word says, once Moses allowed his curiosity to put him in a place where he needed to take a closer look, the Bible declares that's when God called Moses' name. And there's oftentimes God does things in our midst that should put us in a place where we're curious enough to say, God, I need to take a closer look. Catch this. God will cure somebody from something in front of you. God knew he was going to bless them anyway. He puts you in a caretaker position to see it. Just so you can say, God, I'm curious enough to know how you did it or why you did it. I need to take a step closer. God will get our attention by shaking some things up because he wants our curiosity, y'all, to lead him us closer to him. Let me try to make it plain, as he would say. God will send a pastor to a church. Stick with me, Hamilton. I love you, but I got to preach this. Stick with me. That may not be the traditional. Still may be learning some things. And you may say, well, God, how and why? But God wants us to be curious enough to take a little closer look to why God is up to what he up to. And if you notice, once Moses took a closer look, then God began to bless Moses by calling his name for the assignment. And if we get curious enough to say, God, I need to get closer, then God will begin to work some things out and make it clear to us what he's up to. He'll shake some things up just to get your attention and say, God, I see it now. God, I need to walk in it now because I understand. And Moses would not have got that call if he did not rely on his curiosity. Are you curious enough about the things that God is doing in your circumference? Does it have your attention? Are you over here and God is doing something over there? And he's doing it for a while because he needs you to scratch your head and say, maybe I need to take a closer look at what God is up to on this side of the kingdom, because I need my name called. And if you don't think you need your name called, then you continue to walk up this king's highway long enough. And there'll come a day where you'll wish he called your name. It might not be down here on earth, but you'll get to a place where you'll say, God, I heard Jacob, I heard Hassan, I heard Hakeem, I heard Roger, I heard Stephanie, but I did not hear Brian. God will put you there. It was not surprising that Moses saw this bush on fire. Y'all read your Bible, Shiloh. We always been taught well. It's natural in the desert, in the wilderness, for things to catch fire. But there was something different about this burning bush, Simone. This bush didn't burn like any other bush. The flames were a little discolored than the normal burning. And so God allowed something to take place in that bush that he didn't let take place in any other bush. And the word says that it would not consume. There have been bushes burning all around us. I'm trying to teach. There have been things catching fire all around us that has not consumed. Did it burn, Reverend Thorpe? Probably could have, should have, but it didn't burn. We need to get the point that God is just trying to get our attention. Because he could have burned the bushes up around us. He could have truly burned the bushes up, but he just did not allow them to be consumed. When you leave here today, I need you to understand that you have to take your curiosity serious enough about the things that God is doing around you. It may seem like nothing, Mrs. Mary Tarver, but God is up to things all day long. Every day, God is moving pieces around. He set things on fire. He's putting things out of fire. He's building things up. He's tearing things down. He's pushing stuff left. He's pushing stuff right. He's moving stuff forward. He's moving stuff back. He just desires our attention. And so when God wants to use you, he'll call you to the work, to the blessing that has your name on it. See, that's the thing. It will just sit there. Because God's blessings for you are for you. It's not like finding a UPS package on the floor and saying, well, I think this would be better at my place. No one can pick up the blessings that God has with your name on it. No matter how light it is, they can't carry it. If it's heavy and they call for help, they still couldn't move it. And if they get it to their house, I promise they can't get it open. Because what God has for you is just for you. And I thank God that nobody can come and take away from me what God has for me. I had some bushes that didn't burn. I had some times I should have been out and about. But God said, what I have for you, no man can take away. And this is how I know that God one day wanted to use me. This is personal testimony, because these are the things that took place in my life. He tried to leave and said, no, purpose. purpose. I tried to leave. Red purpose. Purpose. When God wants to use you, church, last thing is that don't matter who you are. Don't let folk fool you. Because sometimes Black Baptist folk walk around with mirrors in their pocket. They do. I seen them. I was like, man, I'm so excited, man, to do this and do that. They pull out a mirror and they try to show me who I am. And sometimes when you look in mirrors, church, not only can you see yourself, Reverend Bell, you can see things behind you. And so I get in that mirror and I start brushing this little bit of hair I got left. I'm looking in this mirror. I'm looking at them things behind me. And I leave them giving God the glory, just excited to do what God has me to do next. Amen. But yeah, it doesn't matter who you are. Jump down, verse 11. It says, but Moses said to God. Now, this is after God tells him, you know, he's going to have to go back to Egypt. He wants him to lead these folk. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? The first line of verse 12 says, and God said, I will be with you. I only heard two folks say thank you. I want to read it again because I want you to catch what God is trying to do here. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? That's what he said, Curry Martin. And then God said, I will be with you. God, Pastor Hamilton, never answered Moses' question. God said, I will be with you. Who am I that I should go, D? God, my sister says, I will be with you. God was intentional, Chief Tidwell, and not answering Moses' question, because it don't matter who you are. All that matters is that I will be with you. And somebody in the house can shout that if God is with me, then who can be against me? That if God is for me, who can stand against me? That if God is for me, no weapon formed shall prosper. That if God is for me, hell hounds cannot have me. That if God is for me, the enemy will never win. That if God is for me, then that house shall be mine. That if God is for me, then my marriage might stay together. That if God is for me, then a church might grow. That if God is for me, I know I'm going to win. I know I cannot lose. I know the enemy won't win. I thank God for being with me in my good days. And I thank him for being with me in my bad days. And I love the Lord in all my heart, in all my soul, and everything that is within me. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah! God wants to use you.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Tell me who can stand against you when we call on that great name, Jesus. 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 For what can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? Neither death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things past, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate you from the love of God. What a word! Hallelujah! The doors of the church are open. Hallelujah! The question isn't who you are. The question is, will God be with you? And the answer is, He'll always be with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He says, you'll always be in the grip of my grace. The doors of the church open. That first means, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you don't have a personal friendship, relationship, fellowship, if you're not married to the Master, then today God is calling your name. God is calling your name. If you're here today and you're uncertain about your soul salvation, today, give your heart to God and watch God be God. Glory. Salvation.
I love Him.
Salvation. Not only for salvation, but for membership. You're here today and you don't have a church family, place where you're going and stretching and wrestling and learning and praying. God says, forsake not the fellowship in Hebrews. That's being part of the family. May not always be easy, but God says, I want you to be part of my family, my church. If you're here today and you don't have a church home, today can be the day. So first, for salvation. Second, for membership. Thirdly, for baptism. If you're here today and you believe in Jesus Christ, but you've never or you haven't responded in obedience through baptism, I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you to take the step of faith and watch God work in your life. The doors of the church are open. What a word.